Well, this is God's call, different people to different roles. Well, part of it's that, at least. So last week, Louise and Jane got us started off in the morning and the evening in the background to us being the body of Christ, and each having a place within that body, roles to play to ensure that the body functions properly. Because obviously, if anybody doesn't have all its bits working, then it's never good. So we are that body in the with the sort of head and the with the body underneath the head and the heart of Christ. Today, we are thinking about different people having different roles, and those roles aren't necessarily permanent ones. I mean, you know, you don't necessarily have to take up a role and you have it forever. It may just be for a season. And it's good to remember that, you know, because sometimes you think, well, oh, I don't want to do that. I might be doing it forever. But actually, that's not necessarily the case. Every person in the fellowship of faith has natural strengths and spiritual gifts. That's just how it comes. And to a certain extent, we need to know what those are and to work within those. But in my experience, it's sometimes good to also be listening to the prompting of the Spirit of God, of the Holy Spirit of Christ. Because sometimes he's asking us to take on roles that maybe aren't a natural and obvious fit. Now, George touched on that this morning. Sometimes we might be doubly blessed by serving God in the church in that way. Because, as George pointed out, sometimes God asks us to take on a role and then gives us the gift in order to be able to carry it out. This is an act of faith. To step out and expect God to equip us for the task ahead. And as such, actually, when we do that, and it's the right thing to do, our faith will grow as we see God empower us. And as you see God empower you to do something that you thought you were not really capable of doing very well. I mean, generally, get involved with the roles that interest you and energize you. Use your gifts and talents. The body is wonderfully diverse and yet unified. That's us. We are diverse. Have a look around. Yeah, we are. Maybe we could be more diverse, but, you know. But we're together. And God, the Bible says that every role is equally important. From preaching on the stage to clearing out the gutters. And actually, in April, I did both of those. Did you know that when you wrote that, Kath? I had a very nice time up on the gutters with Eric. It was a real time of fellowship up there. There's this huge, wide gutter that goes all the way around the back of the church. And we brushed it, and we got all the moss off the roof. It was good. It took us ages. But it was actually quite nice weather. And, you know, apart from the men in the school who were putting in some sort of device. Can't remember what they were doing, but it made a lot of noise. But, you know, it doesn't matter what we're called to do. It's to do it and to enjoy doing it. And sometimes I think we don't quite believe that. We don't quite live it out. At the moment, we have maybe a rather more volunteers for kind of spiritually, Sunderly sort of roles. Hospitality and pastoral, and these are all great things. You know, these aren't things that we don't want people to do, but it's maybe some of the unseen roles we're a bit short on, like caring for the church building, looking after the AV, the car park stewarding, and you know, other things. And of course, sometimes we feel that we can't serve in the way that we might want to. We think, well, there's so many people doing that. But actually, as George pointed out, again, you really need to listen to George's talk if you weren't there this morning. Actually, sometimes the reason there's lots of people doing that thing is because there's a few in that number who actually would quite like to step out for a bit and do something else. So do volunteer. And at the moment, I think there's very few members who've got children under 15 who actually are involved in things within the church. And that's because we're not really enabling them to do that. So it may be that there's some kind of encouraging and enabling work that the majority of us need to do, and figuring out how they can get into a position where they can actually serve and use their gifts. I became a Christian a very long time ago. I was at a Scripture Union camp. I'd gone to lots of them, but I think it's 53 or 54 years ago, and I can never quite remember. I said, yes, I'd like to be a Christian. A year or so later, the very lovely, quietly spoken, smooth Reverend Richard Gorry asked me if I would lead my Christian Union at school. I was appalled. Surely he knew me. He knew I was shy. He'd seen me at prayer meetings, unable to say a prayer out loud. He knew I wasn't really much into friendships. I was a slightly oddball kind of guy. I bet that comes as, oh yeah, probably doesn't come as a surprise to you. But yet, I said to him, no. I mean, what about Watty Mac? He's absolutely ideal leadership material. And Richard was kind of like his quiet self. No, it was to be me. He just smiled and quietly insisted that I was the right person. So with huge trepidation, I took on leading the Christian Union for that year. Or maybe it was a year and a half, I can't remember now. I'm sure I did it not very well to start with. But Richard, he was at my side. He was phoning me up, checking that everything was going okay. And I led the Christian Union, much to my surprise. He called round at my house one day, and my mum opened the door. We lived in a sort of first floor maisonette in Edinburgh. And so I was up in the hall. She'd gone downstairs to open the door. And I heard her thanking him for all that he'd done for me. And I heard him in his wonderful quiet way saying that really it had nothing to do with him. This was a work of God. Because my mum had seen how much I'd changed, and she'd seen nothing yet. It was a work of God. He was sure about that. There was much more to come. For a fellowship of young graduates took me under their wing when I left school. I was working for a year in an architect's office, hoping I might actually, on the third go, pass my exams and get into the School of Architecture. One day, my bike had a puncture, and I started to walk home through Edinburgh. The dotted line shows the route. I walked and I prayed, and suddenly, as I entered the meadows, I was engulfed by the loving spirit of the living God. And fundamentally changed. Something extraordinary happened. It was 50 years ago, just before Pentecost, if I remember rightly. Just extraordinary, that moment. I've always described it as being a jug filled up with warmed water as I walked through that little green space in the middle of Edinburgh, feeling like it was just overflowing and filling my spirit, my soul. That was no reward for good behavior. That was not because I'd served him. No, it's because serving God had put me in a place of blessing, had put me in the fellowship of these young men, who I later realized probably had me as their project for the year, praying for me, taking me away for weekends, Bible study, crashing the car. Who knows? Maybe that was part. If I'd not served, would I have found myself in the place of extraordinary blessing that has dwelt in my soul from that day to this? 50 years I have benefited from that moment. 50 years I have benefited from that brief association with the Scripture Union. I want us to look at Romans 12, the first 5.5 verses, as a little bit of a background to what I'm talking about. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us had one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. There's obviously an absolutely a mountain of stuff we could take out of this passage, but I'm just going to take a few little points. Just as Christ sacrificed his life for us, so we offer ourselves back in gratefulness. And that is part of our worship, isn't it? That gratefulness. In verse 2, we are told not to conform to this world, but to be transformed. I love that word, transform. It's a fantastic word. It's a word that is fundamental to my life, actually quite fundamental to my work as well. Transformed. The world may have told me that I was worthless, struggling along at the bottom of the bottom stream at school, failing exams much more successfully than passing them. But God was not having that. And I loved your choice of songs, Liz, because that really is, you know, I am who you say I am. Absolutely. I am now who God says I am, and I will be even more of that person into the future, transformed. Lead by Christian Union was his demand, and he knew right. And his prophet, the lovely Richard Gorry, got it smack on. Thank you, Richard. The transformation began as I served. We are to be realistic about ourselves. It says, do not think too highly. But actually, there's another side to that, and that is, do not think too lowly of yourself. See yourself as God sees you. See the potential. See the wonder of your gifts. Do not belittle them, whatever they are. These are starting points. see with a vision, illuminated by faith. See yourself the way God sees us. And we're different. We're not all going to have the same function, it says in verse 4. And that's extremely good. It's wholesome. Even having slightly different theological viewpoints is great. It gives that flavor, that body that is so varied, so important. Consequently, we belong together and we belong to each other. We each have different gifts, says in verse 6. And that is according to grace. That is so important to remember, that these gifts are given by God, not because we deserve them. They're given by grace. He gives them out. He dishes them out. And he dishes them out when he wants to. Sometimes it's transient, a gift that is just for a season, or it might be lifelong, but they're poured into us out of the loving grace of God. As we know, life is a constant change. That's how it comes. It's a process of change upon change. And we're only still and doing nothing when we're asleep or dead. And each time I have served, it has been an obvious blessing to me, with only one exception that I can think of. In each case, I've been changed and transformed little by little as I have served God. Sometimes, I admit, I have tried to do too much, and I eventually realize that I'm being called to lay something down. And now, I know I need to lay something down that I'm really passionate about. It's not easy laying things down, but I know I can't keep this up, and God is calling me to lay it down. And sometimes he has hinted to me that he's calling me to do something absolutely bonkers. Crazy. I'm like, this is a really silly idea, God. I could not possibly do this. 20 years ago, I had this really strong impression that I was to run junior church. I mean, the idea was laughable. You know, just, no, you've got it wrong. Your finger was pointing at the person behind me, maybe? No? Okay. Once again, I wrestled with the idea. But in the end, actually, I did it for a couple of good years. And then it came time to lay it down again. Not that I was perfect at it, but actually he was calling me to do something slightly different from what I imagined. But it seemed to me that it was wrong. It couldn't possibly be me asking me to do this. I'd tried teaching junior church when I was a late teenager. Jenny, who was lots younger than me, she's watching online, so I've got to say that, she was helping with the junior church in a little satellite church, and she said, come along. So I went along, and I was glad to be in the same place as her. I was really rubbish as a junior church teacher. So, you know, the idea that I should lead it was, it seemed bonkers, but actually, in the end, I did it for a short time, and it was the right thing to do. But it wasn't the rest of my life, and probably existing junior church pretty pleased about that. However, there may be some things that you might want to do for the rest of your life, and a few of you will now smile, thinking, I know what's coming next. Yes. I hope and pray that my hearing and coordination lasts long enough so that I can continue to serve on the sound desk till the end of my days. I've been stood behind that desk, wherever it was, and in different forms, for 30 years. And actually, it has been transforming. I've joined in all the music practices. I get a double dose of worship. What's not to like? And then I'm there, standing there, trying to keep an eye on the band, see what the latest little twitch from Emma is, so as I know to turn down the drums in case Simon's not noticed. Trying to sense the congregation, the band, and what the Holy Spirit is kind of doing as far as I can. Imperfectly, I'm sure. But just trying to be in tune. What a great privilege. I love it. So there's some things that just totally suit us, don't they? And I sing, I worship, I break free of all the anchors that hold me to this mortal world. It's a great gift to be able to enjoy worshiping as I follow the band on the sound desk. Just that same sense of God's presence in me, and I know I'm quadruply blessed to be able to say it, but you know, God has been with me through these 50 years. It is extraordinary. There's no place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be but here in God's love, in his presence, serving him with every ounce of my being. The song lyrics say, there's no place I'd rather be. And then it says, I want more of you, God. And actually, in a sense, when we want more of God, we need to give more to God. And experience tells me that I get more of God as I give more to him. It's not a formula. Can I just stress that? Because, you know, God is God. God does what God does. And sometimes he takes us a bit by surprise, and that's good, because, you know, if we could figure out God, then he wouldn't be God. But there's a real sense that as we give of ourselves, then we will receive more of him. I'm going to ask Liz to come back as I start to close this talk down. No, has the screen gone off? Has the screen gone off? Or is that? Oh, no. It's weird. There we go. So, the main point of today is really talking about knowing our gifts and getting involved, and that it blesses God, it blesses the church, and it blesses us too. And that's such an important thing to get around our heads, really, that actually it is a blessing to serve. Don't miss the opportunities to serve our sacrificial Savior. For from that place of servanthood pours the great blessing that cannot be underestimated. Do not miss out. And as George said this morning, don't fail to encourage one another as well. Sometimes we do not see our own spiritual gifts. We do not see our own potential. So remember, when you see something in a person, remember to highlight it to them. In my early 20s, I was assisting in organizing an event which John Stott was speaking. I scurried about, being very much me, helping wherever I could. And at the end, we were all packing up, and John came to me, and he said, Colin, you have a servant heart. That was encouragement, big style. Big, big encouragement. We need to remember to do that for one another. Don't forget to encourage one another. You know, we may not serve perfectly, but that's not the point. In every aspect of our lives, we are imperfect. Every aspect. Our service is not going to be perfect either. We can't wait until we're perfect before we serve. It is in the serving that the transformation happens. We are serving our sacrificial Saviour, and that is the vital truth. Let's pray together. Lord, we just thank you for your great love for each one of us. We thank you, Lord, for the way that you have continued your work of grace in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you reach out to us and befriend us, and then that you call us into your service. And we thank you, Lord, for the way that that service that we can give to you, that service is part of the transformation process that continues day after day, year after year, throughout our lives. May we each find the way that we can serve you in prayer, in giving, in thankfulness, in worship, in speaking to those around us. Use each of us, we pray, to bring you the glory and the gratitude that you deserve. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.